Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 138, recorded Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast. Travel is turning me hipster, and every delay has a story. So coming to you again from the Travel Commons studios outside of Chicago, Illinois, this has been a good travel month for me, not too heavy, and all my travel had me headed south, an important thing in February when you live in Chicago. The week before Mardi Gras, I headed down to New Orleans for a meeting. It easily could have been an overnight trip, but neither my wife nor I had been down to New Orleans for a while, so she came down with me. And we caught some parades, Knicks, chaos, muses, ate way too much food, and except for a cold rain Wednesday night, had just great weather. On Wednesday, we were walking along the Mississippi back to the French Quarter from the Bywater neighborhood, and it was bright sunshine, upper 60s, while in Chicago, they were getting slammed with, you know, about 8 to 12 inches of snow. When we flew back to Chicago Friday night, we were able actually to thread the gap between the end of the Friday end of that 8 to 12 inch drop and the start of a Saturday, Sunday 5-inch snowfall. Timing is, you know, timing's everything. Actually, we came to the airport prepared for a long delay. So we had fully charged batteries. We had muffaletta sandwiches and a mini king cake from Cochon Butcher. Southwest had canceled this same flight the night before and then actually had canceled their Friday morning flight back to Midway, understandably given the snow. But, you know, given that those last couple of flights were canceled, we didn't think, you know, they would cancel ours. They at some point they had to get people home. So we came in figuring we were going to get out that night, but it was just a question of how long we were going to have to wait. As it turned out, we were only an hour late, which, given the weather, felt as good as on time. Now, last week, I managed to point myself south again, this time to Florida, Orlando, Miami, and was able to skip 2 days of a heavy cold rain in Chicago, trading that for 80 degrees and sun. I will take that every day of the week. The JW Marriott in Miami upgraded me to a room with a balcony on the 20th floor. Now, while I didn't have an ocean view, I still had, you know, 75 degrees, and I was in a balcony outside drinking a couple of beers, watching the sun go down, looking over to some of the rooftop bar action in the Brickell neighborhood. Miami is, it's always an experience to me. It's, you know, it's not the southernmost U.S. big city, but rather I think the northernmost Latin American big city. I was reminded of that actually when I was leaving in Miami airport, when I heard them paging someone in Spanish twice. They didn't even bother wasting their time with the English. So, following up, lots of comments about luggage since the last episode, which, you know, kind of makes sense. The last episode was heavy on luggage talk between the continuing thread on the smart luggage ban and then the suitcase buying tips, which I then ported over to a blog post earlier this month. So, starting off, Alan Marco, who in the last episode had pinged us about his Away luggage. Now, he forwarded along the latest emails from Away. And if you recall, that's one of the few smart bags with removable batteries. And so they haven't been caught up, at least in the initial pass of the smart luggage ban, or or they thought, until Delta decided to add their own twist to the ban. If the battery in the bag requires a tool to remove it, which the original Away bag does, you have to remove it from the bag before you board, whether you're carrying on the bag or gate checking it. Now, the later version of the Away bag has an ejectable pop-up battery, which Delta thinks is okay. I don't know. I mean, this is just such a mess, this whole sort of, this whole removable battery thing. I mean, this is what happens, honestly, this is what happens when engineers run amok. And I can say that as a recovering engineer. I mean, these guys are going to keep tweaking and twisting this. You just keep trying to refine it, which, of course, is just going to confuse gate agents, which is then just going to frustrate passengers, which is, I got to tell you, which is why I just ended up giving it all up, mothballing my smart bag, and I just bought another Anker lipstick charger, and I'm just moving down the road. Now, Steve Frick hit the Travel Commons website and left this comment. He said, "I replaced my luggage with the exact same bag I had before, a Travel Pro. It was an easy choice. I, like you, wanted a simple bag. I knew my gear would fit. I already knew what to put in the outside pockets. Now, one of the guys I work with recently bought and then returned a four-wheel spinner. The reason for the return? He discovered that most hotel parking lots weren't level, and each time he let go of the bag to raise the trunk lid of his car, his bag just sort of rolled away." Steve, I got to tell you, I had that same problem with my Blue Smart four-wheeler, except in airports rather than parking lots. I'd put the Blue Smart against the wall in the restroom, and it would just, I don't know, just sort of wander away. Jerry Sarfati posted on the Travel Commons Facebook page, "Mark, great episode as usual." I had to include that. It's my self-affirmation for the day. Jerry, thank you very much. Okay, now let's get on with the, now that we've done the self-affirmation, we'll get on with the content. Jerry writes, "I had a different experience when choosing a new bag. I was stopped twice by American Airlines gate agents telling me my 22-inch bag was too big. I'm in group two. So I settled for a 20-inch Victorinox spinner. Now I asked, came back in the Facebook post, and you guys can see it. I asked Jerry if they had made him put the 22-inch bag in the bag sizer at the gate. Jerry replied, "Only once. It barely fit." And the gate agent said, "But too big. It must slide in easily. It must be checked." Other time, the agent said the sizer was missing, but said, "I can already see it won't fit." Jerry said, "I didn't want to argue and get thrown off the flight." Jerry, that, in technical travel terms, is bullshit. I mean, I remember one time in Boston Logan, I got shunted over to the bag sizer by the Icelandic air gate agent, and I knew I was on the bubble. I knew this bag was really on the bubble of being oversized because I had had to pack for 10 days between Iceland and southern Spain in one carry-on. I've described that in some prior episodes. So I, like I said, I knew I was on the bubble. I knew this was going to be tight. So I just grabbed that bag by the side handle, had it up about chest high, and then just drove it into the bag sizer with all my might. I tell you, that bag was either going to fit, it was going to break the bag, or it was going to blow apart the bag sizer. Luckily, it fit, though I think the gate agent jumped back just a bit when the bag hit the bottom of the sizer. She let me carry it on. I have to tell you, though, that this, one of these past trips, my Florida trip, I flew three legs on American with my new 22-incher, and I didn't get a glance. But having said that, Jerry, you made the right choice. Discretion is the better part of valor. Gate agents have complete control. I mean, it's sort of obey or get bounced. I got to say, it's just, I mean, it really is too bad that you got caught up by other folks' power trips. Now, back on the website, Robert Fennerty wrote, "I want a four-wheel spinner. My wife loves hers, but I won't get one because I believe that bags with only two wheels have a bit more interior space than four-wheelers of the same length. That's because the spinners can't tuck into the side of the bag, so you're losing the inch or two between the middle of the spinner wheel and the top of the stem that attaches the spinner to the bottom of the bag. How's that for OCD?" Robert, I'll see your OCD and I will raise you. I actually pulled out a metal ruler and measured the ground clearance difference between my new Victorinox two-wheeler and my wife's Samsonite four-wheel spinner. I measured a 1.5-inch difference, multiply that by the 14-by-9-inch base size, and that gives you 189 cubic inches that that you're paying for that spinner agility. You know, I look at that and I say, look, that's, you know, that's one day's worth of workout kit that I'm giving up. Also on the website, Jim McDonough wrote, my favorite bag was a Rick Steves 21 rollerboard that had just one compartment and two really good wheels. I used it for a decade and finally had problems with my wife's bag, same sort of bag, the wheels fell apart, and then the side of mine cracked from all the abuse. Rick doesn't sell them anymore because it was a hair too big for the European airlines. We're now using Samsonite spinners. They don't hold as much as the old Rick bags. We only check bags when we are staying in one place for at least a week. Carrying on is just simply liberating. Well, Jim, liberating is, it's really liberating in a couple of ways. You know, first is not standing around waiting for the luggage carousel to start to get your bag. And then the second way is not waiting around for the luggage carousel to stop to confirm that the airline lost your bag. I mean, I remember one trip where British Airways forced me to gate check a bag and then somehow lost it. Now, how you lose a bag in, say, I don't know, the 50 feet between the jet bridge and the baggage hold, I'll never know. Now, the problem was I was in a different city every day, and so they'd deliver the bag to my hotel the next morning after I'd already checked out and headed out to my meetings. I mean, this went on for a couple of days until I finally convinced them to leapfrog me and send the bag to two stops over. Finally being able to liberate myself from well-worn clothes, I was loving just, you know, finding happiness in those small things. You know, another reminder that Miami is different, not just the Spanish language, but the in-room coffee machine at the JW Marriott that I was staying wasn't kind of the standard issue single cupper with the Starbucks Pike Place filter discs. That, I got to tell you, that, by the way, those filter discs are always too big for the filter holder of the coffee machine. Going back to engineers, I mean, why hasn't somebody figured that out? But I digress. So instead, though, at the JW Marriott there in Miami, rather than the typical, like I said, the typical single cupper, they had an Illy espresso machine with its own little capsules and their own branded demi-tasse cups. I mean, it took me a couple of tries to get the capsule sort of properly situated. But after that, I ran completely through the supply, all 3 to 4 of the capsules, and in probably about 15 minutes. And after that, I was ready to attack the day. Last month, the aviating rail fanner, how about that for a handle? He stopped by the Travel Commons YouTube page and left a comment on the 2012 video that I had done titled O'Hare Layover Excursion, a 6-hour tour of Chicago. And the rail fanner said, I think it would be a good idea to mention that the Randolph Wabash Station has been demolished and is now the Washington Wabash Station. Well, I'll tell you, rail, that's a good point. Indeed, there are more than a few things that have changed in the 5 years since I did that video. You know, that video, I stole that video idea from the One City 5 Hours series that United used to run in their Hemispheres magazine. Indeed, the first Travel Commons video that I did was me doing the One City 5 Hours tour in Frankfurt during a 6-hour layover on my way home to Chicago from Mumbai. But anyhow, I think it's a good idea. They've stopped doing it many years ago, but I really liked that series. I enjoyed it. When I went back and I was looking at my video, my Chicago video, I think the locations are still good. I mean, Wrigley Field, Millennium Park, the Picasso statue. I'm not sure, though, in this age of Uber, if the focus that I did on kind of subway transit, you know, mass transit, the subway, the L, I'm not sure if that's still valid. I don't know. I may see if I can easily lightly edit that 2012 video, you know, sort of insert some text to send people to the right station, not the demolished station, and update kind of the notes I had on the one-day travel pass options. But then I'm thinking about maybe doing some new videos, maybe this spring, this summer, like, I don't know, like maybe a craft beer tap room focused layover tour. Now there you go. You know, one city, five tap rooms, and then come roaring back into the TSA line. That would be a good one. I don't know. I may need to think about that one for a little bit longer. Hey, and if you're thinking about any questions, a story, a comment, a travel tip, the voice of the traveler, send them along. The email, as always, comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com. You can use your smartphone to record and send in an audio comment. Send a Twitter message to M. Peacock. Post your thoughts on the Travel Commons Facebook page. Or, as a lot of folks did this time, post your thoughts on the website at travelcommons.com. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is travel is turning me hipster. Look, I'm, you know, not wanting to turn this into the Luggage Today podcast. That's a whole different podcast series that you'll have to subscribe to. But when I was shifting things from my Blue Smart to my new Victorinox bag, I also just took the time to restructure my toiletries kit. And as I was going through the contents, you know, sort of what stays, what don't I need anymore, it struck me how much traveling has changed something as basic as how I start my day in front of the mirror. Now, this change sort of started years, actually, when I think about it, we're actually decades ago. So sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, I was living in Philadelphia and flying to Europe pretty frequently. And at that time, the only real direct flight over the Atlantic, let me pause here for a minute. Can I tell you how much I hate it when people say the pond? It just puts my teeth on edge. Okay, let me like recenter here. The only real direct flight over the Atlantic from Philadelphia was a British Airways 747 into Heathrow. Now, back then, I loved Heathrow. I really did. I mean, it was my favorite airport. It was great. It had fantastic connections. I liked the pubs. It was just I just loved going to Heathrow. Now it's just an overcrowded shit show that I avoid at all costs. But like I said, back then it was great. Anyhow, at some point, Heathrow security required all electric devices to be pulled out for security screening. Now note that I did not say electronic because this was before the electronic age. So before laptops and tablets and mobile phones, DVD players, but before all of that existed. No, this meant things like my electric razor had to be pulled out of the bag. I got to tell you, two go-rounds with Heathrow security and that Philips razor got jettisoned for a Gillette non-electric blade. That was the first step. Fast forward a decade and a half to August 2006. I woke up in the San Francisco Airport Marriott to the news of that foiled plot to blow up London to U.S. flights. And they were going to do it by disguising the separate explosive ingredients in different soda bottles. And then they were going to assemble, put those ingredients, assemble the bombs back together in the toilet and then detonate them on board. I was trying to fly back home to Chicago the next day. Baggage check lines exploded when all the flyers with toothpaste, shaving cream, makeup, pretty much everybody, were made to check their bags. That following weekend, I reworked my entire toiletries kit, hitting the local Whole Foods for tooth powder to replace toothpaste, hair wax for hair gel, and trading the shaving cream that I had picked up for, you know, in that last revamp. I traded that for a badger hair shaving brush. I think that was the tipping point. That's when my toiletry kit definitely started to skew hipster. Fast forward another decade and a half to this Christmas, my son gives me a selection of travel-sized shaving soaps, each in their own tin container with a screw top. My daughter gives me a bottle of Lush Toothy Tabs, kind of compressed tooth powder. These immediately go into my travel kit. My son forwards me a Mastrop buy for an Arista razor, a $100 version of my grandfather's safety razor, precision engineered for, as they say, a very efficient yet non-aggressive shaving experience. I think really seriously about this. My toiletry kit has now gone just about full hipster. And although I've slagged on the TSA for God knows how many episodes over the life of this podcast, I do have to thank them for one thing, for keeping my toiletry kit from going full on hipster, because, you know, I know they'll never allow me to shift to shaving with a straight razor. Second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is every delay has a story. I'm channeling Rod Stewart here, right? Every picture has a story. Every delay has a story. You know, in the last episode, I talked about why I dropped my subscription to TripIt's paid pro service. Kind of the main benefit of that service, at least as I saw it, was live flight notifications. And as the other airlines have gotten better with their notifications, the TripIt service was slower, quite honestly, than the free notifications I was getting from those airlines themselves. And really had sort of checked it out with American, United, and also a bit with Delta. However, when we were idling in the New Orleans airport waiting for that flight back to Chicago, I found actually that the Southwest delay notifications lagged way behind TripIt Pro. Not that I had re-upped my TripIt Pro subscription. My wife had forgotten to cancel a 30-day trial that she signed up for, so now she has a year subscription. I instead was using FlightAware, and I talked about that in I think episode 132 about travel apps that I have on my iPhone. So on FlightAware, and specifically what I was using was the feature, and I've talked about this in prior episodes, that shows you where your plane is. And so in this case, I could see that the delay for this New Orleans to Chicago flight wasn't because of the snow in Chicago. The plane was actually spending a lot of time on the ground in Fort Lauderdale, which was the stop before New Orleans. So actually, I hit Twitter like, hey, why is Flight 860 sitting in Fort Lauderdale for so long? The reply, hey, Mark, we know that delays can be tough. And apologize for the inconvenience. I mean, this is like the standard start to every reply back from an airline on Twitter nowadays. And they continue, it looks like Flight 860 is delayed due to inclement weather earlier in the day. I look back on FlightAware, and I could, as much as I could tell, it looked like it started the day in Denver. So, okay, so maybe there was a delay in Denver, but why the long ground turn in Fort Lauderdale? No answer. In January, United announced a pilot program called Every Flight Has a Story, where they'd push out much more detailed information on delayed flights. So rather than just saying late arriving aircraft, it would be our maintenance team is replacing an item on your plane and needs extra time to complete. Now, the pilot was scheduled for, they were going to do it, start off tested out in Houston and in Phoenix. Now, I haven't seen much reaction to it, but at least for me, having some sense of the reason for the delay lets me sort of better figure out what I'm going to do next. I can tell you I'm much less trusting of a newly posted departure time if I know the inbound plane is still on the ground or, as you know, as this example, if it's got a maintenance delay. Of course, you know, some of those explanations could be a bit more embarrassing than others, like for Southwest, a couple of days after our flight back to Chicago. So we got back on Friday night, and on Sunday, Southwest had to cancel more than 200 flights because they ran out of de-icing fluid at Midway Airport. You get that notification. Wait a minute. It's winter in Chicago, and you ran out of de-icing fluid. You're just shaking your head as you dial up another airline that knows how to deal with winter. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 138. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. Check out the show notes for music links. You can always find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, but you already know that because you're listening. Hopefully, maybe you just picked it up on the website, and if so, I hope you subscribe. And better yet, I hope you tell some friends to subscribe. So I'm now shifting now that I've posted this up on the internet and the various sites. I'm shifting, getting ready for spring break, back to Spain in a couple of weeks, Madrid, San Sebastian. Past couple of years, we had headed south to Andalusia, if I get it right. So this time we're heading north up to Basque Country to San Sebastian. So tapas in Madrid, pintos in San Sebastian. I've probably butchered that. Wine, gin tonics in big balloon glasses. New stop on the Michelin dining tour with my wife is setting up. So all a way to tell you that the March episode won't hit until the end of March. And hey, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along. Text or audio file comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, and Peacock on Twitter, the Travel Commons page on Facebook. I think actually you can leave random little notes and on SoundCloud if you use that. Actually, my sister has left notes on that, which are always entertaining. Given that we've been doing history lessons, we can go back to the start. Before there was Facebook, before there was Twitter, there were just websites that you would leave comments on. And I have one of those. It's at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone. So Robert, Jerry, Steve, Alan, who've taken the time to leave comments, send in emails, tweets, post comments. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. And as always, thank you for listening and stopping by the Travel Commons. Travel safe until we talk at the end of March. Take care. Bye now.